is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. My name is Father Brian Nolan. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We're talking about priests and parishes in times of transition. This is the time of the year on July 1st when people get new priests, new associate pastors, or new pastors. We have two guests. The first is Father Jim Prophet. Father Jim is the Director of Clergy Personnel, and we'll be talking about how priests get their assignments. In our second segment, we'll be talking to Father Michael Diascanis, who is a priest who happens to be in transition. So to hear from him and what is his experience and what are ways that he can prepare well to enter a new parish. So what a blessing to have you, Father Jim, to be with us in this first segment.
Thanks, Father Brian.
There's a lot of people that are excited, some who are nervous about priest changes. And can we start just a little bit to have a general idea of how the process works with the placement of priests?
Well, sometimes it gets to be a bit of a, I don't want to say a game, but it's almost like dominoes when a parish comes open. And sometimes that happens through a priest retirement. Sometimes it could be, you know, God forbid, a priest dying or getting ill and not able to continue. So you've got a place that may be open, and basically a discernment process begins with, you know, what does that parish look like? How complex is it? Does it have a school? Is it a large parish, a small parish? And then, you know, it's almost like a bit of a matchmaking exercise in the sense of, given the personality of the parish, the ministries there, kind of the strengths of the parish, or maybe things that are growing edges, what would the person look like that would go in there to lead that community? And then once that person is identified, it almost begins this little game of dominoes, so forth. Because then if it's a parish that is, you know, fairly complex, larger, then you're not probably going to be putting a priest there who's becoming a pastor for the first time.
Sure.
You know, you might want someone who has a little bit more administrative experience. Maybe if they've got a school, maybe someone who's at least had exposure to having a Catholic school in their parish. So it's trying to tie people to the ministries and the outreaches of the parish based on their own gifts, their experience, their abilities, and their interests, you know. And we often invite our priests to provide information to us about, you know, when the time comes for a change, do they wish to become a pastor, engage in special ministry? Are there geographic locations within the diocese that they would like to serve, or particular areas they'd like to minister in? And so we have that information as well to draw on. So looking at some of the desires and experiences of what may bring someone into that position are really key for it.
Right. And Father Jim, what would you say, can you talk about the distinction between generally, are there kind of general lengths of time, the difference between how pastors might have a longer period of time versus associates? Can you speak to that? Just maybe so people of our parishes might know, understand a little better.
Sure. Generally speaking, and again, there are no hard and fast rules because you don't know what could happen in the course of someone's tenure in a place. But generally speaking, pastors are assigned for a term of 6 years initially. Now, that doesn't mean that when 6 years comes that they're going to automatically be reassigned. They may be reappointed, or it may just be that they stay there until, you know, there's another opening at which they would be suited for comes up. Now, associates tend to be a little bit more fluid. We try to allow associates to be in an assignment for 3 years. That's not always possible. Sometimes they'll go on for another year, depending on what is going on in the parish. But generally, I'd say associates, you'd see maybe 2 to 4 years. Now, there are exceptions to that, too. There are some priests who've let it be known that they'd rather be an associate for an extended period of time, and so they may stay there for a longer period. But generally, associates don't stay as long as a pastor would, because their ministry is to assist the pastor in you know, in his ministry of shepherding the parish. And it's important that they have experience, those men have experiences of, you know, more than one parish for when the time comes that they themselves are considered to administer a parish.
Can you speak to, there's obviously a lot of emotions when you have, for parishioners and even parish staff, when you have transitions, can you speak to the different things, different emotions with a new pastor coming in, both the challenges but even the joys with a new person coming in?
Well, just like in my own experience, I've pastored two parishes, been an associate in three before I've come into my position a couple of years ago and working in clergy personnel, and it can be excruciating. You know, there's a mixture of emotions that come around on the part of the priest, certainly. Fewer the priests that are saying, oh, I just can't wait to get out of this parish, because priests get attached to their people and their parishes, just as the parishioners get comfortable with their priests. So it's very rare that you hear someone saying, oh, we're glad he's gone. You know, usually parishes grieve the loss of a pastor, particularly if they've been there for an extended period of time. And the pastors themselves or the priests grieve the loss of their parish. But in my own experience, while they were very emotional times where I wasn't looking forward to the day of moving from one to another, there's also, it's kind of like this bittersweet time, because there's also the looking ahead of where the priest then has the ability of, I don't want to say reinventing himself, but certainly maybe learning from past missteps or mistakes, you know, and that's just his normal experience. The excitement that comes with the challenge of perhaps a new community that is very different than what they may have experienced before, maybe initiatives that a parish has that they're excited about getting engaged with. But, you know, there's also certainly coming into a new parish, as I'm sure you know, from your assignments you come in. It's like you usually know no one, you know.
Right.
Gone from like 1 week, which often is a very tear-filled goodbye, where you know so many of the people there who are at your farewell celebration, whatever that may look like, to the next weekend where you don't know a face in the crowd or very few, if any. Maybe you've had a little bit of time for transition to get to know some of the leaders or at least introduced. But, you know, it's almost like here I am and I've got to establish myself. I've got to prove myself. Or I've got, and even more importantly, I have to learn from this community, because, you know, we tend to default to our own experience. And I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges of a new ministry is, you know, going back to what you had. And you can't assume that the experiences that you've had with your prior communities are the same as the current community that you're called to serve. So that's probably the biggest challenge, at least in my experience, because you have to slow down a little bit and probably move at a little bit slower pace just to kind of get your bearings in terms of what's the environment of this community, what are the strengths, what are the things that people are desiring. And I'd say in the climate of the church today, how can we be effective evangelists? How can we, as priests, as pastors, reach out beyond our parish walls of our churches and really be lights of evangelization in our local communities? And I believe that's where, you know, our Holy Father's been leading us. That's where our Archbishop is leading us, to not be insular communities. And I think that's one of the big things that really holds a lot of potential when there is a change in leadership in a parish, that you really can grow on the really good things that a parish has and their great traditions, but say, okay, now that we've got this, how do we push it out into the community even more than we may have in the past?
I do want to ask you a question. Now, there's some people, obviously, they're experiencing transition, and they're like, we love this priest, and how come he can't be here the rest of our lives? What would you say to that?
Well, you know, it's one of the things, in the day when I and all of us were ordained to the priesthood, we were ordained for service in our archdiocese, and it is very, very common for a parish to love to lay claim to their priest, our priest, almost like as a possession. I think as priests, though, we look at the model of the early disciples. Jesus sent them out, and they built communities, and they went from one place to another as evangelizers. And no priest in and of himself is the whole package. As a matter of fact, I don't know that Jesus Christ could be the pastor of a parish and would satisfy everyone.
Right.
But, you know, when you go into a new community and you're welcoming a new priest, he's got his own gifts, his own talents and abilities. And you might say, oh, it's not the same as, you know, Father so-and-so who's been here so many years and we got to know him and got comfortable with him. But, you know, this new priest is going to bring his own gifts, his own experience, his own enthusiasm, and he's probably going to touch people that the other guy wasn't able to touch with the gospel. And I'd say it really is incumbent upon our parishioners and our communities to really be praying communities, praying for our priests, because it's not easy for a priest to take on a new assignment. I think it's probably even more so than when the parish has to bring on the new priest, because, you know, this is a guy who is coming in and having to learn all new names, all new faces, a whole new history, where you've got all those folks coming in, they just have to learn one new name.
Right.
And I'd say it's incumbent to be praying for that priest and to be radical and welcoming that new pastor or that new associate, and know that parishes are really, you know, our seminaries form our priests, but I think it's our parishioners who really engage in a lot of formation for our priests and helping us grow and develop into the men that God's called us to be.
Wonderful. Well, we are so blessed to have you, Father Jim Prophet. And please, thank you for the encouragement to welcome the new priest, and priests obviously preparing to their new assignment and to meet people and to take it slow to get to know the parishes they're going. So what a great blessing. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Father Brian.
Right. In our second segment, we're going to have Father Michael Diaz-Canas. Father Michael is going to be speaking about what's it like for a priest to transition. Sometimes it's good to kind of hear more about what a priest goes through and how he should prepare well. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Archdiocese of Baltimore makes the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through training and background checks and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org/accountability.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. With their recent decision to draft a pastoral document on the Eucharist, the U.S. bishops did not vote on a national policy to deny Holy Communion to politicians who reject church teaching, especially regarding abortion, Archbishop William E. Laurie said in a June 22nd letter to the Catholics of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Quote, rather, in light of the decline in belief and participation in the Eucharist, the bishops voted to permit their Committee on Doctrine to begin drafting a pastoral document on the Eucharist, Archbishop Laurie said. Archbishop Laurie added his voice to that of Los Angeles Archbishop Jose Gomez, president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, who said the bishops' desire is to deepen awareness of this great mystery of faith and to awaken amazement at this divine gift in which we have communion with the living God. Archbishop Laurie said the document will serve as a foundation for the bishop's multi-year Eucharistic Revival Project, what he describes as a major national effort to reignite Eucharistic faith in our country. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Anticipation filled St. Peter Church in Westernport June 19th as parishioners and family gathered to witness one of their own become a priest of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Archbishop Laurie ordained Father Scott Cady during a Mass that was both a family affair and a homecoming in multiple ways. While priestly ordinations in the Archdiocese are typically held at the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen in Homeland, the Archbishop traveled to Allegheny County for this one. Father Cady grew up in Piedmont, West Virginia, on the other side of the Potomac River from Westernport and Luke in Maryland, an area known as the Tri-Towns. For more on this story and a slideshow and recorded live stream of the ordination, visit CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, I'm Kevin Parks.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
My name is Father Brian Nolan. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are blessed to have Father Michael Diaz-Canas in our second segment. The theme this week is, so you're getting a new priest. Our first segment, we had Father Jim Prophet talking the behind the scenes. How do they decide who comes and what goes into the decisions? Here we have Father Michael Diaz-Canas. He's currently the pastor of St. Philip Neri, and he's just been assigned as the pastor of St. Louis in Clarksville. So first and foremost, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Actually, we think in terms of pastors these days, so pastor of St. Philip Neri and St. Clement, pastorate of two, and going to a pastorate, two parishes, St. Louis in Clarksville and St. Francis of Assisi in Fulton.
Yes, so you've been a priest of 17 years. Why don't you give your background and what parishes or what assignments have you had over these past 17 years?
So I'm from Delaware, grew up in Wilmington, Delaware, came to Baltimore for graduate school, civil engineering, found work here, and then after a few years discerned the priesthood, was accepted in Baltimore. So as you said, I've been ordained now 17 years, and I've had seven different parish assignments in 17 years, so been on the road a lot, kind of like the apostles, the Acts of the Apostles. We're reading that in Easter time. Paul keeps moving from city to city. I feel somewhat some kinship with Paul in that.
So this is your experience, and we wanted to get a little glimpse into what goes through the mind and heart of a priest in transition. Obviously, you've had transitions. Why don't you first start telling what happens? Tell me the story of how you got assigned to your new parish.
Well, it usually starts with a phone call. So the director of clergy, Father Jim Prophet, called and said, can we get together for a meal? I thought, that doesn't sound like it's bad news, but I'm not sure what kind of news it is. So we got together, and he said that the bishop wanted to give me this assignment, and the diocese wanted to give this assignment. And basically, is there any reason that I couldn't go? Was there anything they needed to know about what was happening in my current parish or in my family or just some reason that I shouldn't go at this time? But if there wasn't a reason that I shouldn't go, then the presumption is that I do go. And that's what we promise on the day we're ordained. We promise obedience. We're here to work with the diocese, to serve the bishop and the people, and to have that openness. So it was a surprise.
That's right.
I was not expecting that.
We were just talking with a couple other people about saying it is kind of a little bit like the military. You go where the Lord asks you to go, especially through the archbishop. So
it's a surprise, and it's not a surprise because we know it could happen at any time. So I've served here 6.5 years, which is the longest I've had. I lived anywhere since I graduated high school. So it's been a joy to be at St. Philip and St. Clement. And so I always say when we get a new assignment, it's always sad to go. At least that's been my experience. I'm always sad to go. I love the families that I've served in the parish. And then another part of you is excited to come to a new place. It's a new adventure. And what I say is we work with Catholics. We have the greatest job description as priests. We work with people who are trying to be good. Mm-hmm. On our staff and in our parishes, we're working with Catholics, and we love Catholic people. So it's sad to leave the place where we are, but you sense that where you're going, it's going to be a good assignment. Like mm-hmm. There's going to be challenges, but there's good people there. It's not like you're working for some unknown secular organization, and you're not sure what the culture is. This is Catholic culture. In every parish to which we're assigned. So that's been my experience.
So what kind of mindset do you go in when you go to a new place, or what should a priest have when they go to a new parish?
I think we understand that we are growing in our spiritual lives all through our lives, right? We're never finished until we go to heaven. So we know that we're going partly for our benefit to grow. God, we trust, is somehow guiding this assignment. So we're going to get something from this parish, to learn something, as well as to give something. Obviously, we're going to work. We're going to serve the people as their priest. So we're going to give something to them, but we also realize, I'm going to get something here. And I wonder why God is sending me here. I wonder what I have to learn, who I'm supposed to meet, what experiences I'm supposed to have. And I wonder what I'm supposed to give. I wonder what opportunities there will be, both in this particular parish or pastorate, But also at this time in history, what's going on in the world? What does God want? How does God want me to respond? What experience or background or talent do I have that I can contribute to this place at this time?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting because no priest is coming into a vacuum, right? Every parish has a different its own personality and charisms and gifts. How should, obviously, people love their priests. For the most part, there's just a great joy, especially if a priest has been there a while and done good things. How do we look, and it's always sad when you have a new priest, if you've loved the priest and been connected to the priest and he's baptized your children and married you. How important, and can you describe how an incoming priest should be respectful in it and acknowledge really the great gift of previous priests and pastors?
Yes, it's difficult following priests in a certain sense. People have been accustomed to that priest and his ways, and he has served them and given of himself. The beauty of our Catholic faith, of the Catholic priesthood, other religions have ministers. We have priests. Priests are celibate. Priests are available for you. What do we call the priest? We don't call him boss. We call him father. He's a spiritual father. And so when a priest leaves a parish, it's a painful extrication. You're extricating this priest from the people that have invited him to their funerals when their parents were dying, in the hospital when they were sick, when their child was born, when they were getting married. They've struggled with their sins in the confessional through this priest to God in their most deepest, darkest struggles, their hopes and worries. And so they open up to a priest in the way they don't open up to anyone else, and he opens up to them. And then you get a phone call and you're extricated from that family. And it should be painful and it should be sad. But then you're inserted into another family and they immediately, in a certain sense, embrace you. Now you're our father. We want you to visit our mother who's dying. We want you to do our wedding. Our baby was born and we want you to come. So it's the beauty of our Catholic faith that regardless of who the priest is, in a certain sense, you're our father from the moment you arrive. So there's a painful extrication and a beautiful kind of coming into at the same time. But always to respect the pastor who's in front of us because he did hard work there. And we're coming to contribute what we can, which is going to be different. And I think for parishioners, not to expect the new priest to be like the old priest. In some ways, he'll be worse, and in some ways, he'll be better, because we're all different and have different strengths. And so I think the real important point for the new priest, as well as for the parishioners, is really not to have expectations. Don't create expectations. Just go and see what... I think it's important so not to have expectations on the part of the priest or the people that you don't know who... what abilities this priest will have. He doesn't know what experiences the parish has had. There's just this getting to know period. Kind of, you're feeling each other out. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big part of it. And just recognizing that every priest comes with a different experience, different abilities. Some are younger, some are older, some have work experience, some do not. Some are introverted, some are extroverted. We have different temperaments. We come with different ways of communicating. Some use smartphones, some use flip phones. Some love email, some love texting. Some are going to, you know, priests continue the work of Jesus, and there was a threefold aspect of what he did. He brought the sacraments to us, he brought the teachings to us of God, and he brought the charity of God. Some priests focus more on the sacraments and the prayer and the spiritual life. Others focus more on the teaching and the preaching. Others focus more on the charity and the outreach. So as the new priest comes in to say, well, where is his focus? And it's okay. No priest does all three all the time. Mm-hmm. And so just a difference in the priest and to just be patient in that kind of getting to know period. And same for the priest. People say, Father, what's your plans? I have no plan. I don't even know the names of my staff members.
That's right.
I don't know what you've done. I don't know what's worked, what hasn't worked. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the abilities of the people are here. So just kind of that patient getting to know each other. And that docility, I think that's very important.
I think also that sense of, like you said, it's like, okay, Lord, what are the gifts of the people around me? What can we do and where can we go? There's a great humility with that of going in to say, this parish, they have great gifts in this area, but maybe they need to grow in this area, or vice versa, that open wide the doors of Christ to the parish.
And one of my former pastors, he liked to do manual labor. He cut the grass. He had a lawn tractor, and he would cut the grass. And so the new pastor came in, and like, Father, the grass is getting long. He's like, I'm sorry. I didn't get ordained to cut grass. For the one priest, it was almost a hobby. For the other priest, it would have been a chore. And I think also, as priests, we're kind of used to it as part of the adventure, but you know, when you're getting an assignment, you're getting this. This is where you're going to live. This is who you're going to live with. Mm-hmm. This is who you're going to work with. And so recognize just the radical change it is for the priest coming in. It's a change for the parishioners, but it's a radical change for the priest too.
That's right. That's right. And it is going to be a transition. So any way we can help foster transition, just like someone else coming in to work with a new DRE or a new director of religious education or a youth minister or someone, a business manager, whatever it is. And you can't cram relationships. You can't cram relationships. So we are blessed for having Father Michael Diaz-Canas here. There's a lot of priests that are in transition, whether it's a new pastor or a new associate. But blessings to you as you go to your new parish. And we'll pray for all the priests and be patient with others as you get to know them and they get to know you, and really for all priests. And last but not least, pray for your priests as we pray for the body of Christ. So blessings to you. Thank you for coming, Father Michael Diaz-Canas. Thank you for being with us. I'm Father Brian Nolan for Catholic Review Radio. May God bless you.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.